waiting here at your kitchen door.
That is true, and never ever let you down.
pay. It's yours anyway. Get out, kid. From the first, I am the worst kind of guy for you to be around.
Oh, you baby. bless you all. Thank you.
Radio is playing. That's right, Mick. We're playing
all Rolling Stones tonight. Rolling Stones special here on Quartz in Session. I'm your rocking attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie. And you know, that last set of music was all Keith Richards on lead vocals, starting off with You've Got the Silver. Request for Charlie and Crafton, Little TNA, going back to the Tattoo You album. And here's a little EJL secret. Desert Island, that is my favorite album of all time. Tattoo You, Rolling Stones. Drawn my line in the sand. The Worst, going back to 1993 from Voodoo Lounge. I Want to Hold You Live from the Bridges to Bremen album, Live 1998 Stones Tour. And a couple requests. One for Jack in Wilmington, North Carolina, sending out in memory of his mom. And one for Dr. Michael of Health Horizons in Oakmont. They both wanted to hear Slipping Away from the Steel Wheels album, going back to 1989. And I'll tell you what, that album, man, that was my first time seeing the Stones on tour. It had looked like the Stones were never getting back together, never going to tour, and they came to Three Rivers Stadium. You know, I've seen the Stones. This week's going to be my seventh time, and each time I've seen them, my tickets have gotten progressively worse. I was a kid with no money in high school, and I was way up front. And now I'm way up in nosebleed heaven, but that's all right. That's okay with me if I'm going to see the Stones live. Everything is good in this world. So everyone knows the hit Miss You. It's an iconic Stones tune, but a lot of people have never heard this next version. There was they called it a disco remix, but really it was the full length of the song, the way the Stones originally intended it, but it was edited for the album and even more edited for the 45 single. I'm going to play the full length version. It's not on the album. It's on 12-inch DJ singles out and about. You got to get yourself to your record conventions and dig for it if you like it. But there's different lines to this. There's different music to this. And if it's your first time hearing it, you're going to dig it. Going back to 1978, this is Miss You, Rolling Stone special, WRCT 88.3 FM. Thank you.
Yeah. we owe them everything, you know. And that's really the bottom line, because, you know, it's the fans that have made the Rolling Stones what they have made it possible for us, for me to be doing what I am now, you know. That's what they've meant to me. Yeah, I mean, everything from being strangled to being made to feel incredibly good, you know. And talking about personal meetings with fans, you know, I used to do the run from the stage door to the car, you know, and as I say, twice I got strangled on the run, left in the gutter, the car going, the rest of them saying, you know, see ya, we could pick you up on the way round. The fans, I mean, I've known the fans in just about every conceivable situation, you know, from being half murdered to being sort of rescued. You know. Bless their hearts.
From day one, it was always amazing that somebody came to see me play anyway. I'm not talking about the others, just me. I don't know what to say. I've never sort of... It's not something I sit and analyse, really. I never quite understood why they turned up in the first place. So I always only ever thought the Rolling Stones would be going for about 3 years. Bands didn't go on, you know. I play with them because I like the people in the band. If you're playing for 2 hours, you know, and there's sort of set numbers, any band plays... You know, that's part of the fun, is to see people enjoying themselves. And one of the ways is to play, say, songs that you just, you know, you haven't played for years, but they're popular, and so you just put them in again.
First of all, the Rolling Stones fans, to me, have been a very special, huge bunch of people, because the acceptance to me joining was something which was really pleasing to me, because I was hit between the eyes with not only being accepted really well, but the reaction seemed to be a very natural one from them. It wasn't like, oh, so this is the new guy, right? I felt at home straight away. Ever since the first tour, which I did with the Stones in 75. And the thing that struck me with the fans is the fact that I could look into an audience, especially in daylight shows where you can see further than the first 20 rows, and you could see the original followers of the Stones, that generation, and a few feet shorter than them, were their kids holding their hands, and below them were their kids' kids. So they had three generations that stood out to me as very touching.
There was a show in Lowestoft in 1964 that we played at the Grand Hotel, and halfway through the set, the girls sort of jumped on the stage and started to sort of tear our clothes, you know, and all that. And I had one arm of a shirt ripped right off, and waistcoat torn apart, all the buttons and everything, and the collar sort of half gone. And they took the ring from my finger. I had a ring, which I'd had about 10 years, you know, since I was a real kid. It was like a real prized possession, because we had no money in those days. And they took that. And I felt a bit cut up about that afterwards, you know, because I'd had that ring a long time. And about a week later, when I was back in town, I received a package in the mail. And when I opened it, this little package, there was the ring apologising and saying, we hope we didn't upset you too much, but we're not sending you the shirt sleeve back. I thought that was really great. Yeah, well, that's really the lifeblood of the band, I think. It's the thing that always amazes you, but it always happens. Every tour in any country, you always see new fans down the front, young ones, and they seem to have a good time. I think they come for curiosity, or because their mums maybe told them or something, or their older brothers. And there they are in the front, and it's great to see them bopping and having a good time, and we really, like, dig all those young fans in the front. And so the age level of the audience just gets wider and wider. It's like a torch beam.
Some people that over the years have consistently written to you that you feel you've written back and sent them things, and you do have a relationship with them, which goes back to when you were just, say, 20 years old. So this is kind of touching, really, in a way that that can continue for that long, you know, from all over the world, really. And I find that pretty amazing to last that long. It's very nice that you have a growing audience. I think that a changing audience, I mean, some people, they're not going to last forever. They're going to buy one or two records, be interested in you for a little while, move on to something else. People that get married, settle down, then they're no longer interested in music, maybe. And it's nice that this band has been able to acquire new fans, or whatever you want to call it, people that like them, as they go along. And it's nice that that sort of transcends generations, you know. That some people that like us are older than me, and some people younger than my daughter.
A little interview with Mick, Keith, Woody, Charlie, and Bill, coming from a fan club record issued in 1981. You do the math, a long time ago, talking about some of their fans being older, some fans being younger. Pretty cool. Well, we're going to keep it going tonight. We're going to keep it going to 11. We got a lot of requests still to get to. What a terrific night. Thank you for all the great phone calls. We're going to sign off the show now, but we'll keep it going for another half hour. Want to thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I'm your rockin' attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie. If you missed any part of tonight's show, you can catch it in half an hour coming at you out of the West Coast at 1033WWRO.com. You can hear a replay of tonight's show Sunday night at 11 right here on WRCT. And next Thursday at 8, we'll be back together again live. Tell your friends, tell your family, turn up that stereo, turn up that radio. Let's get back together next Thursday night at 8. I want to remind you to take care of each other, be kind to each other, and be proud to be American. We're going to close off tonight's show with the latest live recording from the Stones. Came out late in 23 with tracks from the new album. This is live from the racket in New York City. I'm your rocking attorney saying, good night, Pittsburgh.
Yes, yes, yes. How you doing? All right, Keith. Thank you. Hey. It's great to be back.
Hi, this is God. Whenever I'm in Pittsburgh, which is always because I'm omnipresent, I listen to every radio station at the same time, including WRCT.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ruth Westheimer, and if you listen to WRCT Pittsburgh, you know that in most cases, size does not matter.
Charlie. Gift to you is my goodbye. It's ugly true, it's pretty lie. My gift to you is when I leave, you'll hold on to your dignity. It isn't a decision, love, I have to go.
It isn't supposition, is it? Everybody knows.
As you are instead.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you the best music.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Knorr with your health tip of the day from the African American Wellness Project. Prostate cancer is the most common cancer for men. African American men are more at risk. That's primarily because it's often diagnosed when it's more advanced. The good news is that diagnosed early, most prostate cancer can be treated effectively. If you're a man over 50 or have a family history of prostate cancer, talk to your doctor today about a test. For more information, visit aawellnessproject.org.
Hello, everyone. This is Kevin Amos here on WRCT Pittsburgh, and welcome to our Wednesday edition of Ebony Spectrum. Rick and I are going to dedicate this program to two great individuals that we just lost. One is the Dr. Ralph Proctor, who Rick worked with for many years at Community College of Allegheny County. And for many years, Dr. Proctor was a mentor to me, as well as one of my college professors, who helped me get my credentials in ethnic and diversity studies. The other person is Bob Davis, and a lot of you have heard him on this program before, and he is one of the co-founders of SoulPatrol.com, Soul-Patrol.com. We recently lost Bob the other day to a sudden illness, and he passed away on this past Sunday. So looking at Dr. Proctor and looking at Bob, we have two things that are both related to both of them. One is Lena Horne. Dr. Proctor has written a lot about the Hill District, and you can read about more of the Hill District and his coming up in his latest book. And also, Bob Davis introduced me to Mary Wilson years ago. Mary Wilson, one of the co-founders of the Supremes, I met her on the R&B 40 program when they were taping it here in Pittsburgh, and I got to talk with Mary a lot off mic. But this program from In Black America is a reflection on both of these folks, as you'll hear John Hanson talk about. So stay with us.
From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
I spoke up for myself and the three musicians, or the six musicians I toured with, that weren't allowed to stay where I could, or we were all not allowed to go in a swimming pool or something. It had nothing to do with anything except personal attitudes about certain things. I didn't realize that I was speaking for anybody else until, oh, way in the late 1940s. And of course, as I said, I was raised by a very militant grandmother. I think most of us have grandmothers in our past. And she just taught me that I was human like everybody else.
Lena Horne, entertainer, pathfinder, and civil rights activist. A smooth singer of bluesy ballads, Horne appeared on stage in Harlem when she was 14 years old. By age 16, she was singing in the famous Cotton Club. Eventually, she made her way into film, including the popular 1943 musical Stormy Weather and Cabin in the Sky. Her performance in Cabin in the Sky is regarded as one of the finest performances of her career. She played Georgia Brown opposite Ethel Waters and Eddie Anderson.